Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's time for Industry Night, our weekly segment focusing on the food and service industry. From celebrity chefs to mixologists to small restaurant owners to club promoters, the Industry Night covers it all. Tonight, we talk the future of fast food, which to me is fast food without that fast food feeling afterwards. What might be considered fast food in, say, Hong Kong is considered a delicacy in here in the States. Of course, I'm talking about baos. And there are no better baos than the one served up by Let Us Entertain You's Wow Bao. It started as a one-off concept, a steam-to-order Asian kiosk back in 2003, and since has opened up four more restaurants, including one at O'Hare Airport, not to mention catering, festivals, ballparks, even in the freezer at your grocery store. How does a restaurant that occupied 386 feet in the lobby of the water tower turn into a fast food juggernaut for the city of Chicago and beyond? And does Wow Bao's business model represent the future of fast food as we know it? Well, the man in studio tonight to help answer some of those questions, Jeff Alexander. He's the president of Wow Bao. Jeff, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I got to hire you to do all my PR with that that opening. That was fantastic.
Well, let's talk about the concept. I mean, before we get into the business part of this, Wow Bao, for people who aren't familiar with it, this is a concept. I mean, these are steamed buns.
Yeah, it's a soft, sweet dough about the size of a tennis ball, and inside are different meats and vegetables. We also do breakfast fillings, and we have dessert flavors as well.
And when I say 386 feet, and you know, what we're talking about, the beginnings of Wow Bao really took place right here on Michigan Avenue in the Water Tower place.
Yeah, we opened up in Water Tower in 2003, literally 386 square feet, and it's smaller than most people's bedrooms. And our largest store now is just over 2,200, but we like that 1,000 square foot size.
What were you trying to accomplish? Because, I mean, the beginning concepts of this is something that, you know, was sort of a foray into the steam to order, the fresh sort of bao experience for a market. But talk about what you're trying to accomplish, especially having such a small store.
Sure. Well, we were offered the space at Water Tower Place, and there's not a lot of food that you can do in cooking environments where you need to vent. You need to be able to release the steam and the smell and the grease of the cooking environment, and Water Tower Place wasn't able to do that.
Right.
And they offered us the space. We had an appetizer, bao, that we used in a previous concept, and we knew with it just being steam, we could go into that space at Water Tower and get the steam out of the building at a very low cost. So we took these bao that at the time in 2003, no one had ever heard of bao. No one knew what bao was. And for the record, we did not create bao.
No,
bao's been around for thousands and thousands of years.
Do you consider it is it considered a street food?
I mean,
yes.
It's
about
a portable street food from Asia that is the traditional is the barbecue pork or bean or whatever it may be. But we took traditional Asian fare and took those flavors
curries,
and put it in
like
bao.
That.
We took
curry.
Right. We took spicy kung pao, spicy Mongolian beef, teriyaki chicken, and really just made it portable so you could walk with one hand, no knife, no fork, no napkin, no mess, and walk and eat.
You know, so back to the idea of creating something like this. I mean, with a food that is not well known to the Chicago area, to the American audience, what are the challenges of opening up a kiosk in Water Tower being like, you got your Legos, have a bao? Like, I would think that a lot of people might say, I don't know what this is, maybe I'll skip it.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I think the first year that we did Wow Bao, we might have given away 50,000 bao. Literally, we had to get in people's hands. So we started in 2003. I was part of the opening team with it. Then I worked on other projects, and I took it back over in 2009. And the year we took it back over, we got involved with Lollapalooza. And we've done, I think, 5 years of Lollapalooza now, or 6 years of Lollapalooza. And the first year, no one knew what they were eating. Everyone came up to them, what is this? How do I eat this? And now everyone comes looking for us at Lollapalooza. So we did a lot of educating the guests what it was, telling people what it was, explaining it to them, and really getting it in their hands. For 2 years, we did this promotion called Secret Word Wednesday, where we put on Facebook a word. And if you came in and said the word, you got a free bao, just because we wanted to expand the brand, teach people what it was. And I think we did a lot of education.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of what the second question I had about, you know, Wow Bao was this concept of taking what we know here in the 21st century, the 2.0 fast food, the retail, and being able to apply some of the things like social media and other things to food. And you guys have done that so successfully. When you think about it, you are not a brick and mortar shop. Even though you'll see Wow Bao on State Street or maybe here on Michigan Avenue, Wow Bao is way bigger than where it's at. Talk about the idea early on of trying to convince your business partners and everybody else involved that this is really about being a portable food as opposed to a place of business.
Yeah, I have this vision for Wild Bow. I know that we will be successful when I go to a ballpark one day, and instead of them walking up and down the aisles and throwing peanuts to you and the hot dog vendors, they're throwing Bow. Then I'm like, we hit it, we made it. And the goal has always been to teach people what the product is and to get them to recognize who we are. And we did that by doing, we've done the Wall Street Art Fair, Riot Fest, Lollapalooza. We've done so many charity events with different groups where literally every Friday, Saturday night for 3 years, we were somewhere giving away the product, helping the local community, and really being part of our customer base's environment. And it was all about education about what it is. And if you look at Bow nowadays, everybody's doing Bow. Now, our Bow is the traditional closed Bow. It's, again, like a slider, but it's fully enclosed. A lot of chefs nowadays are doing the open face bun where they're taking different ingredients and taking what's making them famous for their cuisine and putting it into an open face bun as a new way to reach a younger demographic and a less expensive menu item. So we will not take the credit for creating the Bow ever, but we'll take some of the credit for getting people to understand that this is a new way of dining.
Well, I mean, this is 2003, even talked about up to 2009, doing a lot of education. Once you get past the education phase as a business owner, as the president of Wild Bow, what's next? I mean, for you, take us back just in the last 5-10 years where it feels like you guys have done more than the traditional fast food, like opening chains all over the place, but instead getting into food trucks, trying to get your product into different non-traditional spaces. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of outside of your traditional company-owned brick-and-mortar stores. We were the second food truck to hit the streets of Chicago. And back in the day when we did, it was 2010, you weren't allowed to cook on food trucks. You know, now they park and people are cooking. We weren't able to do that. And we had a hot box on one of our vans that we would make the food and sell it out of the box. So we were an early adopter to that. We were an early adopter to all things social. And it just sort of became natural for us. I remember when they were building the Freedom Tower in New York, there was an article on the 50th floor of the skeleton of the building, a Subway sandwich shop was there. And I thought, we could be there. We could be in these buildings as they're being created. And I think as an entrepreneur, it's more thinking outside of the box, thinking differently than everyone else does. The advantage that we also had is our first store was 380 square feet. So right. You know you could do it small, and you know the product's portable. And because you're just steaming, all you're doing is heating up the product, it allowed for us to go different ways. And that's when we got involved with the universities. That's when we got involved with two different airports that we're in now. We did two baseball stadiums, two football stadiums, the festivals. We've done a lot of different things that most people – we're in three different hotels across the country where they're selling the product and steaming.
You know, where your competition may be for the price point. Talk about, like I said, fast food, like places that are going to do lunch and dinner and do it quick and do it in meal form, $7 to $10, things like that. Where you have an advantage, it seems, is that it is portable in the sense that you can take it in one hand. You don't need to do anything. But also, as you just said, you control the menu item because at the end of the day, it's just heating it up. They're not assembling at these places. This stuff is already coming pre-produced.
Yeah, well, we sort of assemble the rice balls, right? So do you want rice or noodles, and which topping do you want? That's the assembly portion of it. But bulk of it's made. Our speed of service, we have the ability to serve 300 people an hour. And if you really break that down, it's literally a person every 12 seconds can go start to finish in our restaurant. Nobody can match that. And that's why we're so successful in airports. That's why we're so liked on college campuses. The portability, the speed of service. The other thing is the flavor profile that we're doing is not what most people are going after. There's not a lot of people in the Asian environment right now doing quick serve, fast casual Asian food. You see a lot of the burgers, you see a lot of the sandwich. Right. Barbecue's becoming really big right now. So we have a niche. And on top of that, that speed that we can offer and our price point really sets us apart.
Jeff Alexander's in studio with me. He's the president of Wild Bow. It's Industry Night. We're talking about the success and really the changing face of fast food. Because you said it right there. I mean, it's the traditional definition. I mean, this is fast food, and the fact that you get 300 people an hour through the restaurant or you know, the kiosk at this point. But I mean, as you think about the future and you expand, you talk about these college campuses, the ballparks, the festivals. What are the challenges? You know, as your brand continues to get bigger and evolve and bring in more high profile opportunities, what are some of the challenges you have to worry about as the president?
Well, the two biggest challenges is the same that anybody faces in any business. The first is people. It's, do you have the right people? Do you have enough people? And the second thing is just your culture and keeping what's important to the concept today important later on. And with both of those, you're going to evolve. If you say this is how we're going to run business, and we're going to run the same business mm-hmm. forever for one store through 100, you can't evolve. That doesn't work. You have to recognize what you're willing to make better and help grow for it. So for us, when we get into these opportunities, we're looking for really good partners who we see alignment in their way of thinking, how they treat employees, what's important to them. And the fact that we have this product that can travel so easily and be done so well, we're not teaching someone how to cook a burger to temperature or make sure the chicken's cooked all the way through.
Right.
Right? The product is there and you're just reheating it. So it works really
well.
So what are
when you're talking about people, I mean, and I think of the fast food landscape as we know it, I mean, you run into the fact that you're going to have customer service issues in the way that, you know, people are at the front of the cash register and how they act or treat customers is how people are reflective of the brand. What are some of the challenges you think of in that environment, in the fast food environment? Because you're right, you don't have to worry about turning the fries over or cooking the beets, you know, putting the right amount of ketchup on. The food's already done. So what are some of the issues that come along with being a fast food restaurant?
I think the big one is really you have to get buy-in from the employees. The employees have to feel what's important to the owners. It all starts at the top. If it's important, customer service is important to the leader. If sanitation is important to the leader, if safety and employee happiness is important to the leader, it trickles down. And it's important to get people to be part of that page and feel what the mission is. At the same time, you're always going to have issues, right? There's going to be a customer service issue. There's going to be somebody not coming into work. There's going to be something that's going to come up. The way that you treat people in those instances, that's what they're going to remember. And that's what we work very hard on.
You know, it's funny. We had some chefs in here and talking different things about food, and they were talking about their relationship with delivery services. And there's some high-end chefs in Chicago who don't want to do it because they prepare their food a certain way at the right temperature, how they want it. Then it gets given to a driver, and in 45 minutes, it delivers at your door. It's cold, and they go, I hate that restaurant. Do you have the same issues with Wild Bao, where, like, when you put stuff in the grocery store and people could nuke it too much in the microwave, or it's prepared wrong at the ballpark? I mean, do you have to deal with the same kind of issues?
I think everyone has to deal with the issues. And unfortunately, if the delivery service takes too long or there's a problem on the way, it always comes back to the restaurant did something wrong. So if you're in that environment of trying to do delivery, I think you have to look at your menu and what transports, what translates. You know, if you're a burger place, French fries don't travel well, right? I don't know about you, but I've had delivery a number of times, and an hour later the food comes. French fries never work. So you got to put what you want to be reserved or reheated on the menu that's good for it. Our food translates great. Our dishes are all done in microwavable, so you can just throw it back in the microwave and go it. The frozen product we do in the grocery, we teach you on the box how to do it either microwave or stovetop steam. It's education and it's commitment to making it right. If you want to make it right for the guest at home, you're going to do it. If you want to make it right for the guest in the restaurant, it's not going to translate for the guest.
If Wild Bao is going to have a full-service takeover of the United States market, it's probably going to – when it does.
Thank you.
When – it's going to have to get out of the expansion world and get into the franchising world where people can buy franchises of Wild Bao. Are you considering that, or is that the next move for a fast food like Wild Bao?
I wouldn't say that you have to go in the franchising world, because if you have the people, you can – company-owned stores, you could have lots and lots of them. The franchising, what's different for that is franchising allows you to grow at someone else's expense, right? Someone else is paying the capital, someone else is doing the work, and you are there to guide them and help them. So right now, if you go to the website, we are collecting names and information about people for franchising for down the road to have a database ready if and when we decide to franchise. Right now, we're really enjoying the company-owned. We're really enjoying our licensed partners. We have a great relationship going on right now, so we want to go at the right pace for the concept.
Well, Wild Bao, really reinventing fast food, in studio with me tonight, Jeff Alexander. He's the president of Wild Bao. You can there's the brick-and-mortar stores on State Street. The kiosk is still there, the 386-foot kiosk in the Water Tower lobby. You can find them at ballparks, at airports, also festivals, and, of course, in the grocery store. Jeff, thanks for being my guest tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Really appreciate the time.